Welcome to YFC for Parents, a weekly radio broadcast for parents of teenagers. Youth for Christ is committed to helping parents effectively raise their teens in today's challenging world. Now, here's your host, Kaylee Akina.
Welcome to YFC for Parents. I'm delighted to be here today with a friend of mine I've been looking forward to getting together with for quite a while. Somebody who's making a real difference here in the Hawaiian Islands and beyond, throughout the Pacific and throughout America. Because there are various people groups amongst us who, with just a little bit of empowerment, just a little bit of help, can really soar and fly and really contribute to society. Well, I'm talking today about empowering Pacific Americans. And with me is somebody who has spent his life doing just that. I have the executive director of the Pacific American Foundation, Herb Lee, with us in studio. And today we're going to talk about that subject, who the Pacific Americans are, why they're such a special group, and what we can do to reach out to Pacific American children right now so that the future will be different for them and for us as well. Herb, welcome to the program.
Aloha, Kali. Thank you for having me here. Very, very excited about talking story with you.
Hey, I'm glad to do that too. Talk story. You know, we know what that means.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're helping people talk story, really, in the schools and institutions all across our state as you reach out to Pacific Americans. Let me ask you this question. Our listeners might be wondering, well, who falls under that definition, Pacific American? It could be every single person who lives here in the islands.
Yes. And if you think about it, you know, we're in the middle of the Pacific. We're a very diverse community. If you think about in Polynesia, all of the different people groups, the Samoan, the Tongan, the Fijians, Maori, all of our cousins there, they're all, you know, they all have ties to Polynesia, but they're born and raised here on the islands in Hawaii.
That's right.
And so our focus is, and they're Americans, but they have a very unique history, and our purpose is to help reach out and provide equity opportunities for them in education primarily, and in just being the best that they can be.
I love the fact that the Pacific American Foundation, of which you are the executive director, is very inclusive. There's not an exclusionary use of the term, but rather it does help focus on some of the Pacific Americans who need particular help.
Yes. I mean, there are particular needs, especially in the education arena, but at the same time, we believe that, you know, good practices in education helps to uplift everybody, helps to uplift the whole ship.
Here in Hawaii, when we think of some of the traditional groups as Polynesian or Pacific, who are we talking about? And I want to get into what are some of the challenges they face.
Well, you know, the host culture obviously starts with the Native Hawaiian community.
Absolutely.
And then, you know, we also reach out to our brothers and sisters in Fiji, in Samoa, in Tonga, in New Zealand. Mm-hmm. And in the territories throughout the Pacific. And so, you know, and we're also reaching out to those on the mainland as well, or on the continent.
We
try to focus on states and areas and cities that have the highest concentrations of Polynesians. So Utah, Nevada, Seattle we're in, San Francisco, L.A., San Diego, and some parts on the East Coast.
We're all over the world, including Las Vegas.
Yeah.
You know, Herb, your strategy, the strategy of Pacific American Foundation, is to reach out while children are still in school predominantly, from kindergarten through high school, although you do work with college students as well. But why is the focus on the school system? And you're not creating schools. You're not replacing the educational experience. But you are trying to reach the Pacific Americans while they're still in school, supplement their curriculum, and empower them with other tools. So why reach out at that level?
Well, you know, we have been very much a part of helping to steward our natural resources. And in particular, for me personally, we started restoration of an ancient Hawaiian fish pond about 15 years ago. And there was a teacher that brought some students down because they weren't doing well in the classroom. These were high school students, 11 and 12. They were considered at risk at the time, weren't doing well. And they came down to the fish pond that we were restoring in Kaneohe called Waikoloaloko. And in 9 months, we saw this amazing transformation in these kids that really, you know, became motivated learners. They understood the relevance of what they were doing, and they were actually meaningfully giving back something. And from there, it really kind of was the catalyst for us to embark on this program to try to duplicate that success and build curriculum. And the more we did it, the more we realized that, you know, having it available just for high school students is almost too late.
That's right.
And so we, as we talked and partnered and talked with teachers and principals and administrators, we went lower and lower and lower, and now we have curriculum, you know, basically from the elementary all the way up to high school.
You know, I love that story that you've just told about these young people who were given an opportunity to get back in touch with their own culture, and yet they had been in our mainstream school system and labeled at risk.
Right, exactly.
And you know that term at risk is more of a statistical referent. That is to say, if certain economic factors are present, certain demographic factors are present, we call them at risk.
Right.
Yet you found by changing the nature of the education, by helping them tap into their culture and their heritage, that they actually became excellers at education.
Exactly. And the beauty of it was that so-called community classroom was like within walking distance of the school.
So you've really changed the frame of reference. You use a word when we were just getting ready earlier. You want to see a paradigm shift.
Yes. Yes. Well, we want to see that, you know, we want to see content and we want to see the context change so that it is relevant to what the kids are learning without compromising rigor, but at the same time motivating them so that they enjoy learning and they can be the best that they can
be. That's terrific. And you mentioned two things right here, content and context. I think content, of course, refers to the actual knowledge that is being imparted, and you want to help them to take advantage of the cultural knowledge. But context, talk a little bit about that. That sounds to me like the way someone would learn.
Right. And context, you know, place, they call it place-based education.
Place.
Yeah.
The sense of place that we have here in Hawaii.
Right. And so that could be your school, that could be your household. You know, the way I was taught, you know, you kind of take care of your own house before you go to other places and take care of other people.
Okay.
So if you think of sort of starting at a concentric circle, what I call or refer to as the pico, as a beginning point, and then you expand from there, then you kind of have the appreciation of understanding that, you know, your house is part of a community, that community is part of a state and things like that. And so, you know, try to understand how we can give back to those places that we call home, our community. And making a difference in that community.
So it branches out from, as you say, PICO. By the way, our program, YC for Parents, is broadcast on computer globally. We get emails from people all over. PICO refers to really that inner sense, what we might call the belly button, so to speak, but more than an anatomical piece, just the heart of who we are. And it's beautiful, that picture you've given of education and life spreading from that point out into the community and trying to bring that together.
Right.
I want to talk more about this wonderful process of helping Pacific Americans. My guest today is Executive Director of Pacific American Foundation, Herb Lee. Herb, we'll be right back in a minute, right?
Great, yes.
Okay, aloha.
Aloha.
Looking for some practical advice to help you raise your teenager? Then don't miss YFC's powerful 2-hour seminar entitled Life Coach Your Teens, available free of charge to interested church, school, and community groups. Life Coach Your Teens is the new program from YFC that will help you bring the best out of your teenager. You'll learn how to coach your child to achieve goals, set priorities, handle failures, and cope with anger. YFC Executive Director Kaylee Akina will share with you from more than 2 decades of working with teens and parents. Life Coach Your Teens, available free of charge to interested church, school, and community groups. To schedule this free seminar for your church or community group, call Youth for Christ at 946-1300. That's 946-1300. Also, tune into our weekly broadcast of YFC for Parents on AM 760 KGU, Tuesday night at 6.
Welcome back to YFC for Parents. This is Kaylee Akina. My guest today, Herb Lee, is the executive director of the Pacific American Foundation, and he's involved in empowering Pacific Americans, especially beginning with young ones from kindergarten through grade 12 and then college students and so forth. Herb, it's been delightful talking with you about this.
Thank you.
The topic resonates with me. One of my dearest kupuna, one of my teachers, was Nona Beamer, mother of Keola and Kapona Beamer, and I had the privilege for many years of being the chanter for her hula halau that she had on the side outside of Kamehameha where she taught. She used to tell me that when she grew up, she and her colleagues, fellow students, were always told, you know, not to talk Hawaiian.
Yeah.
You know, no talk pidgin or anything like that. It had to be prim and proper.
Yes.
American standard English, and you don't let your schoolmasters catch you otherwise. And so the culture was always pushed down. In fact, at one point, she was fired from Kamehameha schools for reviving the ancient hula. And that was certainly a paradigm, and certainly Kamehameha has become a champion of the culture, a real model today of helping young people learn in that. But you are also championing shifting some cultural factors to help Pacific Americans learn.
Yes. Well, you know, we grew up in that transition. You know, our grandmothers, my parents, you know, they wanted us to really learn Western ways so that we could be the best that we can be, because they knew that was the new paradigm, so to speak.
The paradigm
in
for the world going forward with technology, with government and politics as we became part of the United States.
But today, you know, we celebrate diversity now, which is what the United States is formed on, based on. And now, you know, I think there's been a tremendous resurgence in our lifetime of Hawaiian culture and the values that go along with that and the principles that go along with that. So today we asked the question, well, why can't we have both? Why can't we have that one leg firmly planted in the Western culture and that one leg planted firmly in our Polynesian culture? And all we have to do is learn how to navigate in both without giving up one or the other.
So it's not an either or.
Exactly.
It's not with two cultures in conflict with each other, but something
taking the best of all of it.
Absolutely. That's
and
terrific.
And allowing us to be that global partner that we need to be.
So when you do your work with young people, you don't remove them from the mainstream of the educational institutions, whether they're private or public. These are institutions of the state. The children continue to gain their qualifications through them, but you do something supplementary and collaborative. What is that?
We're relatively a small nonprofit organization. We have very, very passionate people, very smart people working with us, and I call them the dream team because they're passionate and they're really, really good at what they do. But at the end of the day, you know, for us to be able to make the impacts that we want to, for us to be able to duplicate that success, we need to partner, we need to collaborate, we need to understand. And in Hawaii, you know, every island, every community has their own little nuances, their own really very wonderful, interesting things that we have to be sensitive to in order for us to build those bridges and make those connections again. And so that's what we spend a lot of time doing, so that at the end of the day, you know, it is that their own sense of ownership in the content, in the place, that is going to be the catalyst for change.
As you're helping young people to come in contact with these rich resources in their context so that they learn at a level that reaches them in their culture, I imagine that we discover there's no scarcity. The resources are there, and you've chosen to bring
goodness,
them together.
Yeah, we live, and I always say this every time, you know, I talk to teachers and students and parents, we live in probably one of the greatest community classrooms on the planet because of our climate. We can go outside anytime, and we're not taking advantage of these resources to be able to use it as a learning opportunity. And the kids love it. I mean, we all grew up, you know, maybe
Absolutely.
We went to a couple of field trips, but there was no tie, you know, to academics. Now everything that they do is tied to some kind of a learning benchmark, and which is how it's supposed to be. But at the same time, they're making a meaningful difference in terms of not only learning, but giving back.
You know, and what I love about this is that in this day and age in which scarcity is a commonplace term, and in so many ways, whether we're talking about fossil fuels or workforce and so forth, the kind of classroom you envisage and want to open up to young people is not scarce at all. We have it all around us in the relationships with older people in the community, in the physical environment, and so forth.
Yeah, and that wisdom, that traditional knowledge is still very much with us and very much a part of what we do. And it's in the places, it's in the people, and we just take the time to really listen and try to incorporate it to the best of our ability in today's 21st century way of doing things and try to, like I said, you know, do it all, have it all.
You just mentioned a word there, in fact, wisdom.
Yes.
Wisdom, which really doesn't factor into most standard curricula. I mean, in curriculum, we're dealing with knowledge content. We're dealing with metrics to measure the acquisition of knowledge. It's kind of difficult to measure wisdom. And yet, talk to me a little bit about that and how that factors into the kind of way you're trying to change education for Pacific Americans.
Well, you know, it goes back to stewardship. It goes back to, you know, what is our responsibility to take care of the places that we live. And it's about taking the knowledge, say, for example, of our ancestors. You know, they were here. It took them, you know, a long time to develop this awareness and knowledge of how to do things and how to create a balance and harmony in our natural resource management areas and in terms of how to propagate fish in a fish pond and how all of those balances that needed to occur within the Ahupua, from the mountain to the sea, you know, the living place. And so it goes back to that idea that stewardship is something that continues to be a responsibility, and that knowledge and the practice of the knowledge is where the wisdom comes from, and that wisdom is still applicable today in the 21st century.
And so when a young person learns something by going out into a region in which they see the land, the air, the sky, and the relationships, they're able to transfer that to technology someday, to
Absolutely.
Politics someday, because you're imparting wisdom, not merely the thing at hand.
Well, wisdom also reflects values. Mm-hmm. It reflects principles. It reflects, you know, a way of doing things, which is a cultural component. And look at our place today in Hawaii. You know, with all of the technology, with all of the knowledge that we have, we still got some major problems. Mm-hmm. You know, our nearshore resources are primarily, you know, pretty much fished out. You know, there's a lot of pollution. You know, there's still a lot that we need to learn. And what I'm saying is that as we teach the next generation of and empower the next generation of students, that the combination of that technology and that wisdom hopefully will inspire a new generation of leaders to do it
bit
different.
Mm-hmm. And in fact, that's what you're all about, is bringing together the old and the new, not putting them at odds with each other. And as much as I certainly do respect the tremendous strides our state is making in terms of renewable technologies and sustainability and so forth, it's not all about electric cars. It's also about what you're talking about, values and wisdom as to how we treat the environment and each other. And that gets imparted to Pacific Americans through your program.
Yeah. Terrific. I mean, if we look historically, you know, there was a lot of people living here before any Western contact. How did they manage the land? How did they manage systems? How did they manage, you know, all of that? And so we want to be able to take some of that and apply it to, you know, today.
Terrific. My guest today is Herb Lee, Executive Director of the Pacific American Foundation. We're going to pick his brain a little bit more as we talk story right after this quick break. Be right back.
Looking for some practical advice to help you raise your teenager? Then don't miss YFC's powerful 2-hour seminar entitled Life Coach Your Teens, available free of charge to interested church, school, and community groups. Life Coach Your Teens is the new program from YFC that will help you bring the best out of your teenager. You'll learn how to coach your child to achieve goals, set priorities, handle failures, and cope with anger. YFC Executive Director Kaylee Aquina will share with you from more than two decades of working with teens and parents. Life Coach Your Teens, available free of charge to interested church, school, and community groups. To schedule this free seminar for your church or community group, call Youth for Christ at 946-1300. That's 946-1300. Also, tune into our weekly broadcast of YFC for Parents on AM 760 KGU, Tuesday night at 6.
Well, welcome back to YFC for Parents. We'll get back with our guest in just a moment, but I wanted to let you know, if you weren't aware of it, that you could have a copy of today's broadcast or of any broadcast we've done during the past 5 years free of charge simply by going to our website, yfcforparents.org. That's yfcforparents.org. And we have a rich treasure trove of interviews with people talking about youth and talking about the needs for youth on all kinds of issues, everything from love, sex, and dating. So if you don't want to have that talk with your kid, just play one of our tapes to going off and getting a great education, to the role of government, military, you name it. We've talked about it here with a guest expert from the islands and beyond. So please take advantage of this library that's maintained free of charge for anyone to access at yfcforparents.org. That's yfcforparents.org. Now, back to my guest. Yes, today we've been talking about empowering Pacific Americans, and I'm just so pleased to have with us Herb Lee, who is doing just that as Executive Director of Pacific American Foundation. Herb, tell me a little bit about how you collaborate with the schools. Young people, elementary school children, go through a standard curriculum in our schools, and you certainly support that and aren't in any way in competition with it, but The young people you work with get exposed to supplementary education.
Exactly.
And how does that work? Give me some example of that.
It's basically supplemental curriculum, and the strategy is to be able to show our teachers and our students and our parents that there are different ways to be able to teach science, mathematics, social studies, and language arts in the context of culture.
And so this would be both for the student who might be struggling because the school culture is somewhat alien to his own Pacific Asian culture or Pacific American culture, but it's also for students who may not be struggling at all but want to take great pride and
right.
learn about their culture.
It's for the advanced student as well. And we developed the curriculum so that it gives a teacher maximum flexibility to be able to tailor the curriculum to the needs of the students in the classroom. And they know them the best. So
okay.
they could be low performing or they could be advanced. And what we do is all of the curriculum is benchmarked to the Hawaii Continent Performance Standards. So we take those benchmarks, we look at grade levels, and we develop themes for each grade level that best meet those benchmarks.
So in terms of being calibrated to the standards of the state, this makes it very easy for teachers to integrate. They're not going to have to choose between, if I teach this, then I'm going to fail to teach them that.
No. Yeah.
Very good.
It's basically turnkey curriculum. They know exactly which benchmarks are being hit. And our lesson plans are integrated. So you're not, when you're learning one of our lessons, you're not just learning science. You may be learning a combination of science, social studies, and maybe some language arts. So it is an integrated approach. It's a thematic approach. And so, for example, in grades 3, they learn about wetlands. In grades 4, they learn about the Ahupua'a system. In grades 5, they learn about stream life. 6, conservation. 7th grade, coral reefs. 8th grade, landforms, because it's focused on physical characteristics, and so forth, and so forth. And so it's again, it's an integrated approach, and it has been really received very well. It's field tested by our Department of Education teachers, and we've so that we've made it the best that it can be. And then what happens is that they teach part of it in the classroom, and then they come down to the various sites and they teach the other part of it. And it's also structured so that it builds critical thinking and problem solving from the earliest ages.
That's terrific. Mm-hmm. You know, and what we're hearing, although most of what you refer to in the themes sounds agricultural for the first time listener, that relationship to the land is at the heart of the development of values in terms of relationships to not only the environment but to people, and now, as you mentioned, the context for critical thinking. So it's very comprehensive.
Yes, very comprehensive, very rigorous. We never compromise rigor, and at the same time, they're learning about their place from the mountain to all the way to the sea, and what are all of the components that contribute to that sense of place, and trying to find ways to keep that community or that place in harmony with themselves and as and harmony within the environment.
How about that? Well, what's an example of some wisdom that a third grader or fourth grader might walk away with, having come to understand a little bit better the cultural values and the layout of the land and so forth?
Our primary community classroom site for third graders on the island of Oahu is Kauai Nui Marsh. It is considered one of the it's designated as one of the marshes that are international in importance. It is probably one of the greatest community classes. It's 900 acres.
Right. It's teeming with life.
Yeah. There's all kinds of things for a third grader to learn. And then we kind of reintroduce them back in high school to this, to a higher level concerts. But they're learning about just about what's growing there. They're learning about the stories there, the historical knowledge. They're learning about watershed management, how water flows and how it contributes to the success of both native and looking at invasive species and things like that, and how do we find that harmony again. And they actually get in there and they contribute to its stewardship.
You know, I can imagine that even for young people who will not go into life's work that involves direct working with the environment through agriculture or land management, there's a big difference being made. So if these young people go on to become teachers or become lawyers or become doctors, whatever field they go into, they're going to look at the world and at people differently.
Right. And at the end of the day, we want them to be able to make that connection back to where they learn, how they learn, and that the sense of responsibility that they can carry with them in whatever career that they
terrific
go off in.
Real quick question as we go to the end of our program now. Herb, how do you make Pacific Americans successful?
One student at a time. And we focus everything on keeping our focus on trying to empower students to be the best that they can be, and that's we always focus on that.
How can people learn about the Pacific American Foundation and get a hold of you?
We have a website, www.thepaf.org or thepacificamericanfoundation.org, and we have a really good website that has all of our curriculum. All of our curriculum is online with the Hawaii
terrific
Digital Library as well.
So people could actually begin using this at home with their own children?
Sure.
Wow, what a great
absolutely
resource. Say the website again, Herb.
Hawaii Digital Library. It's ulukau.org, ulukau.org.
Well, that's wonderful. My guest today has been Herb Lee, Executive Director of the Pacific American Foundation. Get a hold of him and take a look at his website. We've been talking about empowering Pacific Americans. I've enjoyed being here with you, Herb. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Kili'i. Aloha.
Aloha.
You've been listening to Kili'i Akina, Executive Director of Youth for Christ Hawaii. If today's program has been helpful to you, we invite you to join the family of YFC supporters. In gratitude for your contribution of $25 or more, we'll send you a free copy of YFC's new book, Life Coach Your Teens by Roger Cross. Visit our website at yfcforparents.org. YFC for Parents airs on AM 760 KGU every Tuesday at 6 p.m. For program information, visit our website at yfcforparents.org or call 946-1300. That's 946-1300. Until next time, aloha.